Now BBC Radio 4, Nicholas Parsons is back with those familiar words.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons. And as the Minute Waltz fades away once more, it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world, but also to welcome to the programme four delightful, talented, skillful players of the game as they try and speak on a subject that I give them and do that without hesitation, repetition or deviation. And those four players are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Kit Hesketh-Harvey, and seated on my left, Lisa Tarbuck and Chris Neal. Please welcome all four of them. Thank you. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me with the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Shaw Theatre, which is in the Bloomsbury area of northwest London. And we have a lovely mixed London audience ready to start the show with Kit Hesketh-Harvey. And the subject in front of me, Kit, is the most eccentric person I know. I don't know who it is. Talk on the subject, 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Some would say Salvador Dali tossing his ocelot into his swimming pool, or Lord Berners, who used to dye his fantail pigeons the particular colour of the tie he was wearing that day. Others might cite Dame Edith Sitwell saying her doggerel into her xenophone to bemused people, rather like these at the Shaw Theatre.
Paul Merton challenge.
Slight hesitation there.
Yes, that was a hesitation, Paul. So that was a correct challenge. You get a point for that, of course. You take over the subject. You have 41 seconds available, starting now.
A friend of mine in Swansea, Rob Conybeare, he's a very good artist, but he's undoubtedly also an eccentric gentleman. He once walked around the local shopping centre with a paper hat and a daffodil sticking out the top of it, shaped like a motorcycle helmet, but a remarkably good artist.
Chris Neal challenged.
So it's really just a question. Where do you get a daffodil? Daffodil shaped like a motorcycle helmet.
I think what he conveyed to me was with the daffodil and the paper hat.
It looked
a bit
together.
Like a motorcycle.
Sorry.
That's the way I interpreted
right.
it.
No, I'm sure right.
It was nice to hear from you.
Hello.
So, incorrect challenge, Paul. You have a point for that. You keep the subject. 26 seconds, starting now.
If I was to think of the most eccentric person I know living in London, then I think I would probably go for Nicholas. He is an extraordinary figure. He walks up and down Piccadilly every morning, showing himself off in his striped blazers and his straw boater. He doesn't know it's been out of fashion for 65 years, and who's going to tell him? He looks wonderful with his Oxford bags and his little moustache, which you can't see on radio, but it's there. A little black thing, rather reminiscent of Hitler, but I can't say anything about it. He thinks it's Charlie Chaplin.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. And it was, of course, Paul Merton. In fact, he's the only one to score any points in that round. Lisa Tarbuck, will you take the next round? The subject is Back to Square One. I think that has an echo of a television show you did once.
Yes.
And you are... There's 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
This phrase reportedly hails from a grid that was published in the Radio Times, enabling the listeners to follow the action of the football game and locate the ball. Labelled 1-8, the actual fact is that at no point the announcer say back to square one, because in fact the square one was bottom right.
Chris challenged.
Was there a repetition of in fact?
There was indeed, yes. So, Chris, you're going to
popular
correct.
Challenge.
Is that invective? Grammatically. What's that called?
You have a correct challenge, Chris. You have 42 seconds. Tell us something about Back to Square One, starting now.
Back to Square One. It's when, I suppose, you have to go back to the original thing and start all over again. Maybe something's gone wrong. Possibly...
Paul challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, possibly. And 32 seconds, Paul, back to square one, starting now.
Well, as Lisa said, it used to be associated with this game, but it was printed in the Radio Times. But if it doesn't come from there, I'd like to know from her where it does come from.
And Lisa
it
challenge.
Will be my pleasure to tell you.
Right, and you managed to pick up the cue brilliantly. You were the first one to challenge. 25 seconds, Lisa. Tell us more about back to square one, starting now.
It would seem that the...
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes.
And you're getting more points with this one. Back to square one, back with you, Paul. 23 seconds, starting now.
I'd still like to hear Lisa's explanation.
deviation. Lisa. Well, it was hesitation, yeah.
Do you know anything about back to square one?
I've never heard of it before.
Well, at least she knows all about it.
Well, let's all hear from her.
Oh, Lord.
So you're going to hand it over?
I'll hand it over.
Kit, you challenge first. Very generous of you. Lisa, they're giving it to you. Kit challenged, so he gets the point because it was a correct challenge.
Oh, Janet's on
Lisa gets
that.
The subject. Well, that's 22 deal, seconds. Back to square one. Starting now.
The earliest mention of Back to Square One is, in fact, in conjunction with the game Snakes and Ladders. I have this on good authority, but I have seen several historical parts of the game and the board date...
Oh, poor
chap. It was a hesitation.
Yeah, yes. It was. I've gone tight.
Have you?
Yeah. It's this draft.
Do you want to loosen something before we carry on?
Now, stop that right now. Yeah.
9 seconds, Paul, for you on Back to Square One, starting now.
If we think of our life as being a series of squares, we are now at, say, square 28, we can look back at our previous existence.
So Paul Merton was again speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point and increased his lead. Chris, Neil, will you take the next round? The subject is St Pancras. Not very far from here, but tell us something about that delightful building. 60 seconds starting now.
Well, I'm fairly confident when I say that St Pancras was the patron saint of cramps and headaches, but you probably all know that. But here in London, St Pancras refers, as Nicholas alluded to, the railway station on the north side of the Euston Road, very near King's Cross. From there, you can visit lovely towns like Luton, Bedford, Wellingborough, Corby, Derby, Leicester, Loughborough, Nottingham...
Kit, you challenge.
This is deviation on an epic scale, surely. What?
Lovely places.
Well, that was supposed to be sardonic humour.
It was sardonic.
No,
sardonic.
It wasn't. It's true. I think Kettering's smashing.
Well, that's it. It doesn't matter. To him, they might be absolutely delightful and lovely. To you, they might not be. So he wasn't actually deviating within the rules of just a minute.
I'm fine.
So those lovely places, you can carry on with them. Chris, 37 seconds. I apologise everybody lives in Derby, Crewe, Northampton, Dallaton, or all the other things. But...
Why? Because they live there or because...
In case they thought I was denigrating their lovely hometowns. Chris
sure
loves them dearly and regularly
to
goes to St Pancras, a leap on the train to have the experience of going up to Northallerton. 37 seconds, St Pancras with you, Chris, starting now.
It's a beautiful building in which is a hotel, which I think they're renovating and are going to open sometime soon. It'll probably cost a fortune to stay there, but it might be worth it. I know on those special days they do in this fair city of ours where you can visit buildings which are normally...
Paul Towns.
No, I was going to say repetition of building. But
yes, because you
building.
Say it's a beautiful building. No, it's buildings and buildings, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was buildings and buildings. Glad you were listening. That's very decent. No, I've no idea.
That's my job, actually, to listen, you see. So I did building and buildings, so it wasn't repetition. 23 seconds, still with you, Chris. St Pancras, starting now.
Oh, I'm so glad I've still got this subject to St Pancras. I've got a great deal to say on it. As I mentioned before, he is the saint responsible for those nasty physical ailments.
Paul Towns.
It must be repetition if you say, as I said before. It must be the definition of it, surely.
Yes, but you know, Paul, you have to keep going, and sometimes you keep going and you find a different word to express the same particular thing. Mm. And he said, as he said before, that wasn't repetition either verbally or any otherwise, and he did keep going.
Yes.
So, Chris, you have another point. And you have 15 seconds on St Pancras, starting now.
15 seconds on St Pancras. Thank goodness there's enough time to let you know even more of the facts I have about St Pancras. As I mentioned before... Oh, no, I said before!
So, you challenge.
Sorry, that was repetition
of before. Yeah. Right, as I said before. Right, Kit, you've got in with 6 seconds to go on St Pancras starting now.
He was a 14-year-old boy martyr whose relics were presented to the King of Northumberland. It's day 32 in this palace. And there's a...
Right, so Kit Hesketh Harvey speaking as the whistle went. Again, the next point, he's in third place, just behind Chris Neil, who's just behind Paul Merton, and Lisa is behind them. And Paul Merton, it's your turn to begin. The subject is spectacles. Tell us something about spectacles in this game, starting now.
Curious thing, spectacles. I'm looking out at the audience now, and they seem what a charming bunch of people. I only have to put my glasses on, and the reality is, oh, my God, is much better. Because it brings people into focus. And where would we be without our glasses? We'd be somewhere, but not sure where. We'd be stumbling around like Mr. Magoo's in the dark, bounding into various bits and pieces of furniture, not really knowing where we are. The glasses, when they were...
Lisa Challenge.
Repetition of glasses.
Yes. In fact, second repetition, actually.
Oh, really?
35 seconds, Lisa. Spectacles starting now.
I used to wear glasses, and I had bifocals in the bottom to help me read easier. Just during my A-levels, and then I promptly lost them, because they were the most
Paul Challenge.
Hesitation.
I call that hesitation, yes, Paul. Spectacles is the subject. 60 seconds, starting now.
Think of two monocles glued together. That basically is what your pair of spectacles are. I have a rather peculiar prescription when I go to the optician because one eye is completely different to the other. This one here...
Kid Challenge.
So, was that... he was doing a gesture, which the listeners couldn't hear. Maybe that
was... You don't hear gestures.
There's a lot of people on the panel I don't like.
I thought it was... It was teetering towards hesitation, but it may have just been dramatic effect. I don't know, Chairman, what do you think? You're so
It wasn't hesitation. It was something else, which I won't tell you.
Because not going to tell us, what was it?
No, no. Otherwise, you'll lose it, won't you?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because there's now only 12 seconds left. Wow. And you still have the subject of spectacles starting now.
It's beautiful at last to be able to see with 20 ditto vision. Fantastic. Objects in the distance suddenly seem so close. It's remarkable. I walk...
Sir Paul Mutton was again speaking of the whistle when gained the extra point has increased his lead at the end of the round, and the word he repeated was one. And,
Was
he? Was, yeah.
One.
Oh, yes.
No one picked up on it, yeah. Right. I have to listen, yeah. So,
Well, don't look so glum. Don't look so glum about it.
Well, I was once, somebody said, you only guessed, don't you? I said... How could I? So anybody can check on it and write in if I'm wrong. Right, where are we? Kit, will you get the next round? The subject is my tactics for winning just a minute. 60 seconds starting now.
My tactics for winning just a minute are clearly less than successful when confronted.
Lisa Challenge.
These are my tactics for winning just a minute. Just butting in and getting a point. Just thought I'd try it.
All right. Lisa, a clever interaction. We give you a bonus point because they enjoyed what you said, but it was an incorrect challenge. So Kit has a point for that, keeps the subject. Man, there are 56 seconds. My tactics for winning just a minute starting now.
Clearly less than successful when confronted with the...
Chris Challenge.
It was a repetition of successful, I think.
No, I don't think he said successful. So, Kit, you have 54 seconds. My tactics for winning just a minute starting now.
When facing the mighty juggernauts that are Paul Merson, Lisa Tarbuck and Chris Neal. But for those who don't know, Just a Minute is a game devised by Ian Messiter in which one has to speak for just a minute without hesitation, deviation, or repetition. So my tactics for...
Paul Challenge.
Is it really necessary to explain the rules at this point?
They might just have tuned in.
Well, after 40 years.
Young ones, a little five-year-olds coming to it for the
first time. Well, this is true, but we've moved away from my tactics as to describing the actual game and how the rules
I think
played.
I would agree with that challenge of deviation, right, Paul. So you have the subject and you have 39 seconds starting now.
It's impossible to really develop 100% sure tactics to win just a minute because, like the game of golf, it is incredibly difficult. Just when you feel you're on top of the particular sport, you realise you don't know how to do it. One good way of doing it is to say a word you've said before, but add an S onto the end. So you suddenly say golfs, for example.
Kid Challenge.
We've had lots of says.
Yes, you did.
I'm sorry.
Right, well, listen, Kid, you have the subject. 18 seconds, my tactics for winning just a minute, starting now.
You are allowed to say what is on the card. So my tactics for winning just a minute would be to reiterate and rehearse that sentence. My tactics for winning just a minute, perhaps.
Full challenge.
Well, deviation, because if you just kept saying my tactics for winning just a minute, other than this round, that won't win you just a minute.
No,
it's only in this round saying that, so you can't say here's my tactics for just a minute saying I'm going to repeat that my tactics for winning just a minute. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know.
Very metaphysical.
No, it's abundant logic in what you've just said, Paul.
Is it?
So, yes. So you have a point.
Clutching at straws.
No, it's correct.
Absolutely.
What you've just said, a correct challenge. And you have 7 seconds on my tactics for winning just a minute starting now.
If you can challenge somebody with just 7 seconds to go, then you realise there's very little time left.
Kit Challenge.
You've realised before.
No, there wasn't. You're bluffing on that one.
No, on the golf thing.
Was there?
Yes, have you realised on the golf?
it was, yeah.
Kit, you've got a correct challenge. You have 2 seconds on my tactics, starting now.
Janet Staplehurst.
Please, a challenge.
I'm playing my tactics again. 2 seconds to go. I thought it was worth a chance.
So what is your challenge?
I haven't got one.
You haven't got one, right.
You
haven't got a challenge, so that's no tactics for winning. So, but the audience clapped and they enjoyed
it.
So,
give
on another bonus point because they enjoyed it. But Kit was interrupted, so he gets a point, and he has 1 second on my tactics for winning. Just a minute, starting now.
Puts the whistle to her lovely lips.
So Kit Hesketh Harvey, with many points in the round, including the one for speaking as the whistle went, has moved forward into second place. He's still behind our leader, Paul Merton, but a little way ahead of Lisa Tarbuck and Chris Neal, equal in third place. And Lisa, take the next round, please.
Okay.
A living legend. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Richard Attenborough and his brother David, perhaps. Pelé, Paul McCartney, Delia Smith. Shirley Williams, even. Why talk about these living legends when, ladies and gentlemen, we are sat here with one of our own? Raised by...
Paul Challenge.
Oh, please, this is just embarrassing.
So, Paul, have you a challenge for the rules of justice?
No, I'm playing Lisa's. You're lucky I said anything. Just press the button and get the points.
The response from your audience justifies a bonus point to you, but Lisa gets a point for being interrupted, keeps the subject a living legend, and there are 47 seconds, starting now.
Sir Nicholas Parsons was raised by cats.
Chris, challenge.
Oh, a deviation. You're not knighted, are you?
Not yet, no.
That's a hint, Majesty.
But I think she was only speaking sort of facetiously in the sense.
I don't think so.
Is nobody going to challenge the fact you were brought up by cats? The Sir Nicholas bit is neither here nor there, surely. It doesn't matter whether you've got a knighthood or not. The fact you were brought up by a couple of tabbies.
Chris, actually, your challenge is correct.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
I mean, Lisa, I don't think we're speaking accurately. I think
you just want me to go on because you think I might say something lovely about
you,
don't
you? Yes, of course I do. But I'll be fair. I'll show you how generous and fair I am. Chris.
You give me 5 points.
Chris, you have 44 seconds, a living legend starting now.
The Minotaur of ancient myth and legend is reputed to have died many millennia ago. It's not true, he lives at number 4.
Full challenge.
But this can't be a living legend.
Well, that's what I was going on to say. He lives at number 4 with his lovely wife, Julie, who's...
But you said he died millions of years ago.
Oh, did I? I wasn't really listening.
Paul, your logic wins you the point on the subject. 37 seconds starting now.
A living legend, I suppose, is someone who has achieved a great deal in their career. We look at the likes of Dame Shirley Bassey. This woman's been belted.
Good chance.
It's stuck in his throat. He couldn't...
Well, just you collapse with laughter. I'm trying to make a serious case for Dame Shirley.
Maybe it was one of Nicholas's furballs.
Oh, I'm never going to live down this cat image that we've got. Chris, it's your challenge. What is it?
He's Chris, I'm Kit. It was hesitation.
It was hesitation.
Yes, I'm sorry.
I said generated by your reaction, actually.
Yeah, anyway, exactly.
You've got
my
the
tactics for winning got... just a minute.
27 seconds. A living legend with you, Kit, starting now.
It's ridiculous to refer to Nicholas Parsons as a living legend. Legend he may be, but for the other, clearly not. A living...
Chris Challenge.
Now, I know I'm coming to the defence of Nicholas a lot tonight, and that is my tactic for winning just a minute, but... you're sort of alive, aren't you?
the doctor said it was 50-50 the last time he went.
I don't think I could be doing this show at the pace it goes if I wasn't very much alive.
Quite right. Nice,
well, willpower's a powerful thing.
So, holograms.
Correct challenge, Chris. A living legend with you. And how many seconds? 20, starting now. Oh. Poor challenge.
Useful hesitation.
Yes. I thought you were having a sort of special moment there.
I'll tell you what, I was trying to remember the tablets they give to cats when they're feeling down, and that's what I just hadn't really thought
about.
Oh,
you were trying to make another cat reference?
No, yeah, I was, really. And, yeah, it's lovely when you see the mechanics of how it all works, isn't it? So, no, I didn't know.
No, right. So Paul got in on hesitation. 19 seconds, a living legend, Paul, starting now.
The extraordinary thing about Nicholas is he won't go through a door unless his whiskers actually fit exactly. And you know why that is? Because in his house, he's got a cat flap fitting around the back. And his wife, she knows that once it gets past half past 11, he's going to be out on the street wandering.
So the two past half past 11.
Half past 11, yes. Once he gets past, past 11. Yes. So, Kit, you've got him with 6 seconds on a living legend starting now.
A living legend can be very worrying when it's attached to your Sunday joint. All you can do is cut it off and get on with your Brussels sprouts.
Well, again, I mean, if your Sunday joint's alive, if it's a living legend, when you're trying to cut into it, it's clearly not cooked. It's the logic's all over the place. It's deviation from logic. You can't have a living legend of a joint that you've just cut.
It's been cooked. No,
what sort of oven is it? You left writing. The legs sticking out.
I live in Norfolk.
I dropped my challenge.
I don't think you should be so unkind to that beautiful county. I know it so well, live from that area. Right, so, Paul, a correct challenge. You've got in with 1 second on a living legend starting now.
Nicholas!
So let me give you the score situation, points-wise, at the end of the round. Paul, speaking as a whistle, went gained an extra point. Is he going to a stronger lead than he had before? And Chris Neil, will you take the next round? The subject is how to excel at gossip. I don't know if you are much of a gossip, but I imagine you could excel if you tried. But talk on the subject starting now.
How to excel at gossip. The trouble with gossip is it is dependent on facts. Well, make them up, I say. If you know a happily married couple, make out one of them's having an affair. It'll finally get back to you and it'll become true. What a smashing day that is when you hear that news. That's it, really.
Lisa.
I thought I'd better stop that before it got quite ugly and sad.
Yeah, I know.
I don't believe it of you either.
No, I don't gossip, actually. No.
I think you were going down a route that you actually could not pursue.
Yeah, no, I didn't like it.
And 43 seconds, Lisa. How to excel at gossip, starting now.
A large address book, enough money for a lot of international travel, and a very good memory are, to me, the...
Paul Jones.
She's forgotten what she was going to say.
Yeah.
Just after good memory, so hesitation.
Yes, hesitation.
Rubbish at gossip. Yes.
36 seconds, Paul. How to excel at gossip, starting now.
Gossip is absolutely wonderful. I'd love to hear any kind of tittle-tattle about people, whether it's true or not. Apparently, Nicholas was taken to the vet the other day, and he looked at it. And so, basically, what happened there was it was a wonderful thing. Meanwhile, over in Korea...
Chris Challenge.
Was there a repetition of wonderful?
Yes, there was, actually.
Yes, there was, yes, yes. It was two wonderful words.
Yeah.
So, 17 seconds, Chris, on how to excel at gossip, starting now.
Oh, gossip. We all love a good gossip, don't we? Chatting about...
Paul Challenge.
Sorry, didn't we start with ooh? When you got the subject first time, wasn't there? Ooh, wasn't
it? I think it was more No,
it wasn't the same emotional inflection.
Okay.
Right. So another point to you, Chris. Keep the subject. And 13 seconds. How to excel at gossip, starting now.
Yo, gossip. What a laugh that is when you hear that. Ooh, we like hearing all those... Ooh.
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of ooh.
Yo.
No, but we had yo, but then we just had ooh.
You did, yes, right.
I don't know.
The audience laughed and nearly drowned it for me. Right. So you were listening well, Paul. How to excel at gossip. 8 seconds, starting now. challenged.
Sorry, hesitation.
He opened his mouth, but nothing came out. 7 seconds. How to excel at gossip, starting now.
Sarah Brightman, the second Mrs. Lloyd Webber, danced with the troupe Hot Gossip, at which she excelled.
Lisa challenged.
It was just a trip on the tee, so actually that was quite mean of me. Hot Gossip, you went, Hot
That was a sort of emotional reaction to the image.
Yeah. That's how they pronounce it, Hot Gossip in Norfolk.
Oh, is it?
I think the thing is that it was just a bit too picky there.
Yeah.
We'll just ignore
bit,
the whole thing. And Kit, you still have the subject. And 1 second for you, Kit, on how to excel at gossip starting now.
Always speak in the present vindictive.
Oh, so there we are. Paul Merton is still in the lead. He's a few ahead of Kit Hesketh Harvey, and Lisa Tarbuck and Chris Neal are trailing just behind them in third place. And we're moving into the final round. Kit Hesketh Harvey, the subject in front of me, Kit, is mushrooming. A lovely subject. Coming from Norfolk as you do, I'm sure you mushroomed a bit, but tell us something about the subject in this game, starting now.
What better way to spend a September or October afternoon when it's warm and damp and moist and fungal than to put on a big hat and get a knife, because you mustn't let the spores get dispersed. Go into Thetford Forest and find those slippery jacks and bolitos. Bolitos.
I'm sorry, I mean, he could just be making up words here, left, right and centre, but... What was that last one?
I was trying to work out what the plural of bolitus was, whether it was Greek or Latin, but
that could be me talking.
I fell over. I fell over in the own mushroom stick.
Did you?
Hesitation.
Hesitation. Yes, we grant it, Paul. Great. And you have 43 seconds on mushrooming. Starting now.
The government recently saw fit to ban the magic mushroom, which was a bit of a blow to Nicholas because he had a little stall in Camden Town, didn't he? And it's, I can't say this on radio, really.
Chris, challenge.
No, I thought there was a repetition hesitation. Of must, but it became mustn't, so that's...
And yeah. You're not going to have him for hesitation?
Absolutely. Oh, hesitation, yes. Yes.
Chris, 32 seconds on mushroom is starting now.
There is nothing I like more than on a September morning to put on a short-sleeved gingham dress, sling a wicker basket over my arm, and go out into the woods picking big ones, small types, and some as large as your hat, you know. Anything that's come up overnight, really. You can get delicious types of things, but you have to watch the ones... Oh, I've said ones a number of times, surely.
Why do you keep telling everybody when you make your Paul, you challenge.
Repetition of ones.
Yes. 13 seconds, mushrooming, Paul, starting now.
You have to be very careful when you go out into the forest to pick your own mushrooms, because some are deeply poisonous. Take a guide, if not in book form, and somebody that knows what they're doing. I prefer to go mushrooming with the Archbishop of Canterbury. There's a bloke.
So, Paul Merton brought that round and the show to a close with a flourish and got that extra point for speaking as a whistle went. Give you the final situation here. Lisa Tarbuck and Chris Neal, who did extraordinarily well, as well as the last time they were here together on the show, which... No, darling, you haven't.
Oh.
You did almost as well as you did last time, but that was a few weeks ago, so I shouldn't refer to it. Really. And you came in third place, equal. You were a few points behind Kit Hesketh Harvey, who last time we were at the Shaw Theatre managed to win, but this time, way out in the front, many, many points he scored. In fact, you've got a record 24 points.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody's ever scored any
of that,
Paul. A round of applause, our winner. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Kit Hesketh Harvey, Lisa Tarbuck, and Chris Neal. I thank Janet Staplehurst for helping me with the score, blowing her whistle so well every time the 60 seconds disappeared. We also thank our producer-director, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this delightful game, and we're grateful to this lovely audience at the Shaw Theatre here in Bloomsbury, who've cheered us on our way magnificently. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, from our panel, thank you very much. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.